Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, An Unfair Advantage. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
I want to talk to you about not just good and faithful servants. I want to talk to you about good and faithful leaders. I want to talk about leaders that are accountable to servants. Ask your neighbor, do you want to go there? Ask your other neighbor, are you sure you want to go there? Tell both of them we're going there anyway. Now, I'm talking about the accountability of a leader to a servant. And I don't want you to just apply this to the church. So can I get you to just take your religious mind frame off, because all of you are leaders in some form or fashion. And I want you to apply it to every area of leadership in your life, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's on your job, somebody works under you or somebody that is about to work under you. We need to understand that there is a trust factor that transcends a paycheck. Where is my church? We need to understand that there is a trust factor that transcends business and positions. There is a trust factor that transcends education and offices and titles. Because if you are a leader and you misuse your authority over somebody that is under you, God is going to judge you. Travis, you might ought to turn me up because I can't get no help from the back. I said, if you are a leader and you misuse that, God is going to judge you. And he's not only going to judge you, God is going to judge you severely. See, there is a twofold accountability here in this church. I am a gift to you. So if you misuse the gift that God has given you, and you'll come in here and shout over my preaching and walk out of here and let somebody on your job talk about me, then you have just misused the gift. And God is going to deal with you. Because what you should have done is you should have looked at him and said, you need to hush. You don't even know my pastor. You ought to come to church. And then if you got the right, then if you want to say that, then you say it. But right now, you don't know. It's a hush. And then on the flip side to that is, in the same token, you are a gift to me. And so I have to be accountable as to how I treat you, because to whom much is given, much is required. Now, something every person in this room that has any type of leadership at all, you need to know that God will judge us. This is the point I want to get across today. He will judge us if we take an unfair advantage. What is unfair advantage? The word unfair means a lack of justice. The word advantage, it means a more forcible position. In other words, anytime you use your more forcible position outside of justice and outside of fairness, you are a bully and God is going to get you for it. He is going to get you for it. Deuteronomy 25:11 says, when men strive together and they are at odds with one another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and she puts forth her hand and takes him by the secrets, and you don't want me to go into that, but then he says, if a woman does that, then you need to cut off her hand, and thine eye shall not pity her. The principle here is that God says, even in a fight, if you take advantage of the other person's weakness, I'm gonna cut your hands off. If you take what you know about me to kill me, God said, I am going to cut your hands off. Husbands, do you know that if you mistreat your wives, if you mistreat your wife, that God does not even hear your prayer? Yes. it is true, my brothers. Why does not God not hear your prayer? Because the Bible says that we are the weaker vessel, and you are using a strong arm position over us. And anytime you do that, God says, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Listen, I ain't even going to hear your prayer. See, we don't talk much about that. We talk about, well, I'm the head over my wife. Well, you need to keep on reading, and you need to know that further down, you're going to discover that God's going to cut your head off if you don't do right by us. You are in authority over us. But if you abuse your authority over us, and then you turn around and need God and say, oh, God, I need you to help me. God says, talk to the hand. He said, you've been treating her incorrectly. Now I'm going to show you how it feels to be treated incorrectly. The reason that some men never have any power in prayer, you can pray all day long, come to every 6 o'clock morning prayer session everywhere, but you have no answered prayer because you are not treating your wife right, and it is the little foxes that is spoiling your vine. There is no way in the world you can be beating on your wife and call yourself anointed. I mean, low end. I said there's no way in the world a man can be beating on his wife and then call himself anointed. The devil is a liar. That is not oil on your head, sir. That might be Crisco, but it is not oil. Ladies, there's no way in the world you can be abusing your children, and now you are out here with all of this power. You everybody's mother in the church, and you can't even take care of your own children. God said, I'm gonna cut it off. Grab your neighbor and shake their hand and warn them. God's gonna cut it off. Next couple verses of that scripture says in Deuteronomy 25 says, thou shalt not have in thine bag divers measures, a great or small. See, whenever they did transactions in the Bible days, they would come and they would bring gold, and they would weigh that gold, and they would give you the product that would, about, you would get what you paid for, basically. But if they looked up and they saw somebody coming that looked like they might be a little bit off, or they might be a little dumb or something, they would use unjust weight. And they would take them to the cleaners. But God says you are not supposed to have different weights for different people. And if I catch you doing that, he says, I am going to judge you. Okay, let me help you. Let me bring that into 21st century terms so that you can understand that. If you forgive your daughter for having a baby out of wedlock, but you talk about mine, that is an unjust weight. If you cheated on your wife and she forgave you and God forgave you, but now you're going to turn your nose up at somebody else who is guilty of the same thing, that is an unjust weight. That is what we call a double standard. And the Bible says, comfort others with the same comfort wherewith you have been comforted. And when it starts talking about forgiveness, he says, and we pray it all the time, but there's two very, very special words that I think we kind of just bleep over. It says, forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass, as we, in proportion to the same amount that I forgive you, God will forgive me. And if we don't forgive those who are under us, God is not going to forgive us. Watch out for people who are always so quick to be real critical of other people's mistakes. Don't be guilty of that, because it was nothing but mercy that washed our sins away. Be careful, be careful. So therefore, because I understand it was mercy that washed my sins away, I am duty bound to forgive. Whether I want to or not, I have got to forgive them. Blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones that shall obtain mercy. And if we don't learn how to be merciful, we will never prosper, and God will cut off our hand. Our heart will be clogged up with bitterness, and when our heart is clogged up, we can't see God, for only the pure in heart shall see God. And not to see God means you can't see your purpose, and you can't see your destiny, and you can't see your assignment, and you can't see your future. And the only way to have a clear vision is to unclog your heart of bitterness and hatefulness and jealousy and resentment. Tell somebody that stuff's gotta go. You gotta let it go. See, you didn't hear me. Tell him that stuff. Tell him it's got to go. Oh, you gotta let it go. You gotta forgive all of them, because you are not worth me losing the flow of oil that is in my life. You might hurt me, but I'm gonna take a good Holy Ghost laxative and get you out of my system. Because I gotta see him. It don't matter who did it. It don't matter what they've done. It don't matter how they did it. It don't make no difference at all. But what does matter is that if you don't get that thing out of you, you are not going to see God. Tell somebody, get it out of you. Get it out, get it out, get it out. Get it out, get it out. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you eat the fat of the land. Okay, you want to know how to be successful? That is the recipe for success. I know you wanted a bigger, deeper thing, but the real recipe for success in life is to trust in the Lord, to do good, and then he will cause you to eat the fat of the land. Trust in the Lord. Trust his sovereignty, and know that if he let it happen to you, some way, somehow, it's going to all work together for your good. Trust him without any explanation. And if he shuts the door, you got to know he didn't want you to walk in it. Tell your neighbor, trust him, trust him, trust him. It will crucify your flesh to trust him and still be good to people that you know did you wrong. But that's okay, because when you keep trusting him and you keep doing good unto them, so shall you eat the fat in proportion to. So shall. That means the more you trust and the more you do good, the more fat of the land I'm going to give you. What is the fat? It means the best of the land. God says, if you will trust me, if you'll quit murmuring, if you'll quit complaining, if you'll quit manipulating things, if you'll quit worrying about everything, I am going to give you the best of the best of the best. The more you trust, the more you do good, the more so shall you eat. We got to stop trying to manipulate our lives. And if God says no, say thank you. If he says yes, say thank you. If he says you can have it, say thank you. If he says you can't have it, say thank you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That deals with how you trust God. But do good deals with how you do people. And a lot of people are real good at relating to God, but they treat other people like they're dogs. And if you're going to be blessed, you got to be able to do both. You got to be able to do both. Just ask David. David loved God, but he didn't always do right by people. A perfect example can be found in our text today. David had sent all of his men out to war. While they were out on the battlefield, he was standing at home on the rooftop, and he looked out and he spotted a woman whose name was Bathsheba, and she was bathing on the rooftop. Now, she's married, and she belongs to somebody else, but he's still checking her out. It's called a pornographic moment. She's married, she belongs to another man, but he's still checking her out. He decided, okay, I want to be with her. So he was with her, and what he didn't know is that she was going to become pregnant. And now he's got a real problem. He's got a huge inconvenience. And what makes matters worse is her husband is one of David's men. He's one of David's servants. So her husband is out in the battlefield doing what he's supposed to do. And you got the head honcho at home doing stuff that he ain't supposed to do. And now she's pregnant and he is in trouble. So he devises a plan. He says, get Uriah home from the battlefield. Give him a day off. Naturally, he'll go in and sleep with his wife. It's his only day off. And so then when that happens, I can back up out of the picture. And, you know, she can have that baby. And we can say it was Uriah's. Sounds like a smart plan. I mean, it was wrong, but it was still a smart plan. Oh, y'all look at me like you would have never thought of that. You have thought of way worse than that. It was wrong, but it was a smart plan. But see, God will let a smart plan go wrong just to let you know that he is in control and you are not. So David, here's where he messed up. David never thought for one minute that Uriah was so committed to him that rather than come in and sleep with his wife, Uriah said, I'm going to sleep on the porch because I cannot let my men be over there in the battle and me home gratifying my flesh. Uriah's loyalty to David has completely messed up David's plan. And any time you use somebody's loyalty to you to destroy them, God is going to judge you. After all the manipulation didn't work, David writes a letter, and he sends the letter with Uriah back into the battle, and the letter says, put Uriah on the front lines, and David did it knowing that he would be killed. But David didn't care that he was going to be killed. He just wanted him out of the way because he had a personal crisis to correct, and he said, I got to just get rid of this man. And what is so sad is that out of all the many wonderful stories about David, the one that he is most known for is Bathsheba blunder right here in the text that we read today. Never mind all the victories that this man has won on the battlefield. Never mind all the instruments that he created. Never mind all of the songs that he wrote that we sing from right here today. Never mind that he brought down Goliath and cut his head off. Never mind that he brought the ark out of Obed-Edom's house. Never mind that he established a brand new entire way of worship. He was a leader. He was a warrior. David was a creative man. He was a man that was way ahead of his time. But this one incident marred his entire life. Isn't it funny how we can do one thing that messes up everything? I mean, you make one mistake, people will define you the rest of your life over that one mistake. David is in the spotlight now, so now he's got to deal with the heat. I said, David is in the spotlight, and so he's got to deal with the heat, because the heat and the spotlight go together. So before you start craving the spotlight, you better know that you are prepared to handle the heat, because the two of them are completely inseparable. Okay, so now we got the gossip. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You better know that God is watching you. He is watching your business. He's watching your scales of judgment. He's watching how you take advantage. He's watching how you handle people that are underneath you. David thought he fixed it. He thought he got past Uriah. He had an ironclad alibi. He thought he had got past everything. Oh, but he did not get past God. And you may fool your wife, and you may fool your husband. You may fool your mother, your pastor, your bishop. You may fool your boss. You may faithful, the people that you work for, but God is looking at your life, and trust me, God will ultimately judge you. Oh, you think you got power over this, and you got power over that, and you can pick up a pen and write a letter and say, put this man, Uriah, on the forefront in the heat of the battle that he may die. Oh, you think you got all of this power? You better know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is somebody that's got way more power than you have got. And anytime he gives you a portion of that power, you better be careful what you do with it. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Maybe you like being under unfair people, but I can't deal with it. If you've been mistreating somebody on your job, you need to go to work tomorrow and make it right. I said, if you've been mistreating somebody on your job, you need to go to work tomorrow and make it right. Are y'all even saved? I don't even know if y'all are saved. I would use this message for TV, but I might just have to root up in this house so bad that I don't want the world to know. I said I thought y'all were saved. Do right. If you got people in your house and you are taking an unfair advantage over them, you better make it right today, because God is watching you and God is going to judge you. And the more authority that you have, the more careful that you have got to be with it. Sometimes you might have to stay up all night long and pray and cry and pray and cry just so that you can wake up in the morning and be right and be fair in your decisions. Because if we abuse our authority, God will take you down and pull somebody else up. The God that makes one high and pulls down another. Anytime you see God raise somebody up out of nowhere, no, he just snatched somebody down. And if you're the one he raised up, you better be careful, because he can pull you down so fast. If he did it to them, he can do it to you. You got to humble yourself. You can't be arrogant. I'm going to help somebody in here today. I said, you got to humble yourself, and you can't be arrogant, because God is looking at you. You can't get up on your feet and start thinking you're all that in a bag of chips, and now you start looking down on everybody else. God is watching your life. He will snatch you like a mosquito out of thin air. Be saying, God, purify my heart. Don't let me become arrogant. Don't let me be foolish. Don't let me get so impressed with myself. Keep me humble so that you can use me, so that you can bless me. God, I don't want you to have to judge me. I want to judge myself. And that's a problem. Most people can't judge themselves. And when we don't judge ourselves, God has no other choice but to judge us. He can knock you down so fast nobody ever knew you were up. On your job, you got a promotion, you got a raise. Watch God. He can knock you down so fast. If you get up there and become arrogant, he can knock you so down so fast nobody will ever remember you. He can pull you out of your new house so fast that they will never know you even lived in that neighborhood. I'm telling you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. But if you exalt yourself, God will humble you. Sit down so I can see everybody. When God blesses you, there ought to be something in you that scares you half to death. Mentoring 101. When God blesses you, something in you ought to say, oh my God. I mean, God has blessed us so much. I mean, when I see the blessing coming, I'm looking at Bishop Blake, and I'm, is God trying to trick us or what? What is going on? The more blessed that God makes the ministry here and blesses me, the more I have to humble myself, and the more I have to say, Lord, I just thank you, and the more I have to cry, and the more I have to pray, not because things are going wrong, but because things are going right. See, the greater God blesses me, the more doors that he opens and the ways that he makes for me, that makes me have to holler out and say, God, I thank you, and it makes me want to humble myself, because I know me. I know my mistakes. I know my frailties. I know my faults. I know my failures. I know my limitations. I don't know why in the world God would even want to use me. And so it makes me say, hide me. Hide me while you're using me. While other people think they deserve to be up and they deserve to be preaching. They deserve to be singing. They deserve to have that spot in your employment, in your company. While other people think that they deserve it, something in us needs to say, Lord, hide me. While you're blessing me, hide me. While you're raising me up, just hide me. While I'm getting my life together, hide me, Jesus. Don't let me mess it up. Don't let me blow it. Check me out, God. Don't let me mistreat people. Don't let my flesh get in the way. Don't let my temper or my attitude get in my way. Don't let my mouth mess up my blessing. Hide me. Oh, if you can't holler, hide me. You better holler, help me, because you're going to need it. Here you are talking about you're saved. You're a Christian. You know, people are watching you. I said, people are watching you. They're watching everything you say and they're watching everything you do. And you need to say, God, whenever my flesh gets in the way, please help me. When my flesh tries to show out, please help me. Hide me, God. Hide me. See, every time you get ready to sneak and sin, I said, every time you get ready to sneak and sin, you need to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I represent too much. Represent too much, and I don't want any marks against my Lord. I don't want any marks against my family. I don't want any marks against my church or my bishop or my pastor or my leadership. Hide me, Jesus, because I represent too much. God has entrusted you with favor, and whatever he has put you in charge of, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. You've got to take care of it. If he's called you to clean this sanctuary, clean it with excellence. If he's called you to teach the children's ministry, don't tell them you'll be there on a Sunday and then not show up and not call or not say anything. If he tells you to play an instrument, guys, live the life. You hear me? Live the life. Live holy. Girls, if he tells you to sing on this platform, live holy. Ministers, live holy. Saints, live holy. Everybody ought to do their best to live it. If you can't live it, sit down and shut up. I'm tired, y'all. This is the king's business, and it's got to be done right because the king is watching. Tell somebody, get it right, get it right. Obed-Edom was a porter in the house of the Lord. And because he did everything he did with a spirit of excellence, he woke up one day and God, the ark, was sitting in his front yard. And everything that man laid his hand to was blessed because God just landed in the front yard of a man who did everything in a spirit of excellence. Let me tell you, if you will do it with all that you got, God may show up in your house. Tell somebody, we got to get it right. We got to get it right. No, say it with conviction. We've got to get it.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, An Unfair Advantage, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.